Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. Today, we are joined with Laura Hoffner, a farmer and rancher from Sheridan County. She's also the Women's Leadership Committee Chair. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
You were recently a part of the PAL program through the American Farm Bureau. Can you tell me a little bit more about the program?
All right, so PAL stands for Partners in Advocacy Leadership, and it's a high-level training that is preparing people to be able to tell their story to the media or to government officials and to really help push the advocacy side of agriculture.
So how did you get involved with this program, or what really like sparked your interest with it?
So advocacy is something that's near and dear to my heart. For the last 9 years, I've written for the High Plains Journal for their All Aboard Wheat Harvest program, telling our story of custom harvesting. And you know, I'm also a proponent too of if we want change to happen, we have to be able to be willing to be part of that change. And this program would enable me to develop some skills and to be able to help do that job better, I guess. So how I got involved is I was asked by Kansas Farm Bureau if I would consider it. And you go through a process. You have to be a good standing with your local Farm Bureau, obviously a member of Farm Bureau. And there's some other criterion too that you have to meet in the application process. You have to have some letters of approval from your state Farm Bureau. And then if you're selected from your application, you do an online interview and then you're selected that way.
And once you got into the program, what did your participation look like? What were kind of some of the expectations you had?
Right. So up front, you have to sign a contract, if you will, that commits to this, because this is quite an investment. In this case, we have Farm Credit and Bayer who sponsor us. And because of that commitment that those organizations and Farm Bureau and your state Farm Bureau made, you have to be very committed to this. So up front, there's four different modules that you must commit to. One of those is in New York City. That's more of a media training type module. The next one's in Washington, D.C. And in the case of our trip, we went to St. Louis, where Bayer's located. And then finally, our international module. So there's those components that you travel with your team. And there's also a lot of homework in between. And I would kind of equate that to a college class. There's a lot of reading, there's some writing, there's some group work that goes on. All of those assignments, if you will, are in place to really strengthen your skills and broaden your horizons, both things that you've learned within your modules, or maybe even things that you need to, you know, a standalone skill that you need to learn outside that time together.
Yeah. And can you tell us like some of the topics you guys covered through your readings and discussions?
A lot of that was learning how to communicate and how to communicate properly with people who maybe don't understand agriculture, because that's something that we take for granted. We do it every day and it's just commonplace to us. So things as simple as not using acronyms or explaining those when you do. Even funny words like operation, like what is an operation to someone who is outside the agricultural community? So being very clear about a farm or a ranch or explaining yourself. But as far as topics go, obviously the communication piece, learning how to properly communicate, learning how to work with the media, and maybe tricks of that, because there's a game to that in some cases, and just learning how that all works. We went to Washington, D.C. and visited with government officials. So learning how to communicate effectively, you know, and be efficient and utilize those times and build relationships there. There's also a consumer piece is that we talked about when we were at Bayer in St. Louis, really learning how to bridge the gap between what we do in agriculture and the consumers, and also really learning to listen to the consumer too, and listening to their concerns and how to meet them. So that's kind of a long trail around that, but we could dive in some more specifics if something caught your eye there.
I want to know like more of like the media training, like how was that kind of approached? How did you guys practice that?
So it's a lot of hands-on, you know, mock training. I'd be lying if I said it was easy, because it's not. And public speaking is something that I would prefer to write. So that's something that was a real challenge for me. And you're doing it in front of your peers. you have a topic that you've worked on, perhaps like all of our modules had a scenario, something that we were working towards. And in our case, it was everything had to do with climate change, but the topic or the scenario might change a little bit every time. So we'd have to work up this assignment or this mock situation and be prepared to answer questions about that. And we would have our trainers there, and we would literally go and do a mock interview. And it's no mercy, because some of the, you know, when you deal with the media, some media is very friendly towards agriculture. Some are not, some are somewhere in between, and it's their job to get to the facts. So they're going to do what it takes to get to the facts. And that can be very uncomfortable at times. It can be very pointed. And our trainers showed no mercy, which is great, because that's what you might face. And you have to learn how to navigate that. So yeah, that might be just like a radio interview or a podcast simulation like you and I are doing right now, or it could be actually in front of the camera. They would actually roll the big camera out and you'd be sitting in the chair in kind of a mock, you know, studio situation, and you're in there asking you the questions, and it's very real, and you have to watch yourself. You know, once you were done doing the interview, oftentimes we've recorded it, whether it was video or audio, and you'd have to listen to yourself and critique yourself. And that's hard. That's hard to do.
Yeah, that sounds like you have to have a lot of confidence to go through this program.
That's something that we should talk on.
If yeah, you want, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, it isn't easy putting yourself out there and to be critiqued like that, or to put yourself on the line in front of your peers or trainers. But if you don't do that, you won't grow. And something that I really appreciated about our group, I think we all must have somehow subconsciously come in with this attitude that we're not going to compete against each other. We're all going to learn and grow together. And so with our particular team of people from across the country, even when it was hard, even when you were there, we were always there to support, to cheer each other on. So even in the discomfort, you know, we were growing in a safe environment. And I definitely wouldn't let, you know, someone's fear of putting themselves out there deter them from this program. Your peers and your trainers are there to help you every step of the way.
That sounds so cool. So part of your experience through PAL was an abroad trip that you kind of alluded to earlier. You guys went to Chile. Can you talk a little bit more about this trip and what was the purpose of it?
You know, so the purpose of the trip abroad is to really expand one's horizons, to really learn what goes on outside the United States. Sometimes because of the nature of the work and how intense it is, we kind of forget that there's others out there, and they really want us to have an understanding of different cultures. So yeah, the purpose of the trip was to meet the people and to have an understanding of what our culture and other cultures are like outside the United States.
Yeah. And what did you guys do while you were on your travel?
So we had a pretty robust schedule and pretty diverse. So our trip opened up that, you know, to be able to understand a culture and a people, you have to understand the history of where they've been. So the first part of our trip was spent doing some cultural activities at local museums, and some other historic sites like that, to just kind of gain an idea of what the Chilean, you know, history is. And that was very helpful. Next in our trip, we focused on the government portion. So we went to the U.S. Embassy and spoke with different officials there and really learned about what their jobs were and what their roles were and how we develop relationships with the Chilean people, both in general and also within our culture. And on the flip side, we also were able to visit with the Chilean government as well. Later in the trip, we spent a lot more time focusing on agriculture. So we met with other businesses that help in regards to sustainability. And we also met with producers themselves. So some of them were dairy farmers who focused on a rotational grazing dairy method. We met with a potato breeder, which was extremely interesting. They do grow specialty potatoes, specifically for potato chips. And we visited some orchards and wineries and things like that. So just really having a robust understanding of what, you know, the agriculture and, you know, and also political environment looks like in Chile.
As you have had time to kind of reflect on your experience in Chile and through the PAL program, what would you say your biggest takeaway was?
You know, I think everywhere you travel, I mean, obviously there's differences in culture or differences in history that shape us and our experiences. But I think farmers everywhere ultimately want to grow a safe food supply that's been ethically raised, and they're doing their best to take care of the land and feed the people. So we're not really all that different, even if our maybe our methods or are the ways we come about that are just a little bit different due to different climate or regulations. So something that the Chileans are really looking at closely is climate change, because they're really seeing the effects firsthand. Up in the northern part of Chile is more of an arid or desert-like environment, and they are losing, you know, their land, their farmland, at a rate of 62 miles per every 10 years. So this is something that they're seeing firsthand, and it's happening very quickly. They've been in extended drought as well for over a decade, and really taking a look at how they can change their methods to continue to produce food in the area, not only for themselves, but for export too. And they're going to have to do more with less. So how do they look at their water supplies? How do they continue to use irrigation efficiently and things like that?
While you were in Chile, how did you implement your studies through PAL into your different conversations and travels?
You know, I think it's extremely important when you're talking to people that you don't know who may have differences from you, that you listen first and talk second. So really listening to what they have to say, listening to what they have to share, and trying to really listen to understand and not to respond right away is really important, as well as finding common ground. When everybody's comfortable and realizing that we're more similar than not, you know, I think that relationships have the opportunity to blossom. And that's something that we really tried to do while we were there.
What did you notice about their lifestyle and culture while you were down in Chile?
One thing that we found very interesting about the Chilean culture, that we were told that they have extremely high ethics. And so, for instance, if a label says that it's organic, there is no question it is organic. So they are very much rule followers, and something that's part of their culture as people. Part of it's also because they were under a dictatorship for quite some time, but there's not any room for, there's not much gray area in their culture. So when a label says it has something or contains something, they mean that, because they follow that through to the nth degree. And I thought that was a really interesting thing. You know, sometimes in different cultures, you might open the door a little bit for, well, I know them, I know how they raise it. And no, there's not room for that gray. It's either black or white. You did it or you didn't do it. The Chilean people too are really, they're extremely kind and really nice. In some places, I would equate the Chilean people to be very similar to Midwestern people. They're very accommodating, extremely willing to go out of their way to try to help you, even if there's a language barrier. They're very kind and open-minded. And even if you're, you know, playing the part of the, you know, the tourist, and, you know, maybe some of your behavior is slightly annoying with all the picture taking, and they're extremely gracious hosts and great people.
Laura, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about your time as a PAL participant or your travels to Chile?
So I would just like to encourage anyone who's on the fence about applying for a program like PAL, or even something within the Kansas State Farm Bureau curriculum, to do it. Sometimes I feel like we go into programs like this and we look too much at the things that maybe we need to develop, and we get scared that we're not good enough. But the people who administer these programs and run them truly want to train you to be the best that you can be. So don't judge yourself too harshly beforehand. Go ahead and apply, try to do it, expand your horizons, and the people that you meet are going to be amazing, and they'll help you every step of the way.
Laura, thank you so much for joining me here on Inside Ag. I really enjoyed our conversation about your experience in the PAL program and everything that you've taken away from your trip to Chile. I'm really excited to watch you implement your learnings into your service at Kansas Farm Bureau. More information about the PAL program can be found in the show links. Thank you for listening to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to share it with your friends.